I'm Jesse Robertson from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place for communities to connect through conversation in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Part.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student.
My science buddy.
My teacher. My
homie. I'm his daughter.
My name is Carolyn Leffler. I'm 30 years old. And I know Dina, we've known each other for 10 years. She's my friend, she's my housemate, and she's also a former boatmate.
And my name is Dina Abdel-Fattah. I'm 28 years old, and today is September 25th, 2017.
I've been in Alaska for almost 8 years now, and I kind of stumbled into it. Like many people who come to Alaska, I came to work for a summer, and it's turned into 8 years. I'm currently in my last year with the Arctic and Northern Studies program. I'm studying Arctic policy and history and loving every minute of it.
I am here doing my PhD at University of Alaska Fairbanks in natural resources and sustainability.
So how long have you been here then? Give us a final count.
2 months and 2 weeks.
We first met in 2006 at the College of William & Mary in Virginia. We rowed our novice year together with a college rowing club, which is a very formative time in a young rower's life of blistered hands and short nights of sleep and a lot of physical pain. But Dina and I, you know, when I think of our memories together in the boat, they tend to involve a lot of laughing.
And in college, I had started off with this idea of being a physicist. So I had worked in the physics lab all throughout high school. My dad was able to help me get that opportunity in order, and I was really excited to pursue science. Both of my parents are professors. But I remember my freshman year in college, I kind of like looked at him one day and I was like, I really want to help people. And he was like, well, you can do that doing physics, you know? And I was like, yeah, but like in a different way. I really want to see people and work with people and be able to have that be my life and not be in a lab all the time. But I decided to pursue international relations as my degree. I'm originally from Egypt, and we traveled there growing up a lot. And I think we caught that travel bug very early on as kids. So it just kind of snowballed from there. It was like one thing led to another. I was studying in Amsterdam, and then I was working in Turkey, and then ended up in Germany, and then ended up going to Nepal. And just, you know, before you know it, 6 years had passed.
Why sea ice?
I've always been fascinated with this world of the Arctic from a learning perspective. You know, it's like it's so different than anything that I had ever seen or grown up in, and especially the human capacity to deal with these what seems in my mind very formidable challenges. I mean, sea ice, it's not this just big block of ice that's moving and like melting. There's so much like variability and things that come about with it, and especially from a human perspective, there's a lot of knowledge that has to come with that too. This is kind of a place where we're seeing things happen at the forefront, namely climate change and people reacting and adapting to changes that are both unprecedented but also different. And there's really a great way to look at it positively as a learning experience. Like, what can we learn from our situation here in Alaska to then help others that may see this moving forward? But more importantly, it's a community that I care a lot about, and I know a lot of people from here, and started over the years to really feel like home, even though I never lived here.
How are you hoping to build that bridge between hard science, I'm using air quotes as in this hard science, and the social aspect or the humanities and social sciences?
Being able to acknowledge that diversity of both opinion and experiences and the role that it plays in conjunction with the scientific process is very challenging. How can you feel grounded enough in both so you can be a champion of both when it comes to that point in time, but also building the bridge and not feeling like you have to be a full-on geophysicist or a full-on social scientist to make that happen? So it's picking out the most important pieces from both, but also trying to do it in a way that is logical and is fair to the process too.
Community-based participatory research is really, the up and coming from my perspective of the meetings that I've gone to, and largely those are social science conferences. How do you bring that in when you're actually designing a research project so that from the very fundamental structure that it's informed from a local perspective? We have yet to see sort of an official document for researcher guidelines working in the Arctic or working in Arctic communities.
So I think as humans, especially when it's in our backyard, we want to feel like we have a process in that. We have ownership in that, and we have agency to make our voices heard. Really thinking about, well, where can people address their needs and challenges in a manner that is heard, that it offers them an opportunity to be a part of the process.
I want to sort of zero in on today where we have communities that are experiencing researcher fatigue, right? And some of the information that's been gathered from these communities has been used in ways that runs counter to what these individuals feel are in their best interest, or it's being used to restrict land access or harvest numbers. And these are integral parts of these people's livelihoods, of their cultures. How do we move forward, particularly in academia, to sort of overcome the incongruous cultures where academia is on deadlines and funding and there's a time frame, right, where it's often not long enough to really build the local relationships necessary and the trust necessary to do this community-based, meaningful work that's informed by local priorities and designed around local priorities?
Starting small and then building up, I think, is always, hopefully, you know, a good approach to working at this kind of level. Are we having too many projects focusing on kind of similar things? Can we start to combine them? Can we start to have more concerted efforts versus five projects that look at the impact of the specific change on a community? Yeah, it'll be hard, but I think it's necessary. And I think especially to pay tribute to people that have given so much of their time and effort and energy and knowledge, it's only fair to start thinking about, well, how can we make it easier for them moving forward too?
Thanks, Dina. Looking forward to hanging out later at home.
Yeah, and I just, you know, definitely want to say thanks to you, Carolyn. You've been such an important person in my life for so long. And it's really neat to, like, if you would have told our, 19, 20-year-old selves, we would be here right now pursuing things that we love so dearly and living together.
In Fairbanks.
In Fairbanks. Yeah.
Alaska Voices builds bridges by creating a space where community members, friends, policymakers, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge. This project was developed in partnership with StoryCorps and was funded by the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. Additional funding was provided by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor through a generous gift from the Bentley Family Trust to the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Alaska Voices would not be possible without the help and efforts of an amazing group of people. Our producer and audio engineer is Kelsey Skonberg of Mossy Stone Media. Our podcast and outreach specialist is Mike DeLue. And our website designer is Carolyn Rosner. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.